Now, your story would be very different to that. Roy is a thinker and has told us about his thought process, how he found faith. So, Brenda, how long ago was it that you invited Roy along to those three? 18 months?
Oh, good 18 months, probably yeah. 2 years.
Yeah, September. When did you first come?
You better ask Brenda.
Brenda's Roy's next door neighbour. And at that time, Brenda wasn't involved in the church either. And
pardon? I think I was in your church for years.
Yeah, it's just
but
sort
I
of.
Wasn't involved so much.
Yeah, only just sort of really in time for annual update, yeah. But it's been really great to have Brenda around. Brenda is with a group of other people, part of an Alpha course which has just started. And I am so glad that they're keeping their questions for the Alpha course. Stat me. Philippa was telling me about the questions that came up on the very first night, one of which, and I don't know who it was, so I don't know who to blame, but I'm really scared of whoever it was, asked the question, who is God? Now, I've heard some questions in my time. I don't think I've ever been asked that question before and have got no idea. How I would start to answer it. So, well done, Philippa. In a few weeks' time, we'll get Philippa to stand up and tell us how she answered the question. And if any of you have got a contribution to my ways of answering it, you might have a word with her. I think she'd be grateful for that. I have a question for you. Okay? Before we go on to our content, this is a question which demands a considerable amount of biblical insight and knowledge. Just see who's on the ball this morning. What do Kermit the Frog and John the Baptist have in common?
I know the answer.
You be quiet.
That's an easy one.
See, leading an alpha course turns you into a clever class. What do Kermit the Frog and John the Baptist have in common? Sorry?
Insects.
No, they've got the same middle name. This morning... See, you're all a bit slow. You need to be sharper than that. You were right, you know. Nigel Telfer is grinning that grin of his, which says that's my kind of joke.
I think that's a Nigel Telfer.
No, I didn't get it.
You did a lot better than him, David.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice, mate.
Right. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to focus in on the issues that we've been talking about recently. At the back of the hall, I've put up a heading warfare, a heading prayer, and a heading of fasting. And the idea is that what we're going to do is we're going to gather together all our comments and questions on those issues. We're going to stick them up on the wall. We're going to see how they fit together. We're going to sort of make an exhibition, an installation of what our questions and issues are. Because in a couple of months' time, we're going to have a working group reporting back on ways of improving the quality of our personal prayer. At the end of the session today, I want to spend just 5 or 10 minutes talking about some of the things that you mentioned and actually getting us to focus on our prayer together. And in order to get the juices going, I'm going to tell you what some of my problems have been over these past few weeks. As I've been speaking, I've been falling down lots of holes, right? And I've been thinking, wow, what does that mean? But I'd also like to get some feedback, particularly from Wednesday night's prayer meeting, because there were some insights that were shared there. We met in the small room over at the side. I wasn't there at that time. I was down with my parents. Ian, tell us what what you remember of what people said. Apparently you were really very lucid at the time.
Yes, well, that's all very well for Wednesday night. It's different on Sunday morning. On Wednesday night, we spent the majority of the time praying about the situation with Open Blue, because obviously, as you know, we are at the stage of being desperate to see God move, because if we don't, then it's just going to stop happening. It's good that we heard the news this morning that obviously Green Square have given some money, and we prayed about that on Wednesday night as well. But there was a few people that shared things during the night. One person had a sort of a picture that came to mind. Another person sort of was just as they were praying things out. But there seemed to be a theme to me throughout, which was basically it was about our expectation and what we were expecting God to do, and that actually God is so big that someone shared the passage about more than all we ask or think, and really that forms the basis. We come to God because he is a big God, because he is the only God, because he can do anything that we need done. As long as it's in line with his will, then he says, ask and I'll do it for you. So that's what we were basically set up to do on Wednesday night. And it's what we really felt encouraged to do, in terms of we need to go to God with an expectation that when we ask, he's going to do stuff. But we also need to go with an expectation that actually, if things are serious, then that's fine. That means we need to get serious as well. It's all very well going and just saying, oh, well, I know God's got it in hand. He'll sort it out. If the bus is meant to continue, then fine. We'll get the money and it'll come in. Somebody somewhere will be asking God and it'll happen. But actually, I think Wednesday night just proved that actually, unless we start getting serious, unless we start asking, then actually there is no more time left. Now, that's not a problem to God, but it's a problem for us if he's saying, ask and you'll receive. If we run out of time to ask, then we'll run out of time to receive. So really what we've got to do, I think, is to get serious, and in the time we've got left, pray and pray and pray. I mean, there's a quote from someone that says, sort of, work as though everything depends on you, pray as though it all depends on God. And I think that's the sort of the attitude that we've got to be in at the moment. We've got to make sure that we get to the stage that if the bus continues or if the bus doesn't continue, we can look at ourselves with a clear conscience and say, there is nothing more we could have done. I don't want to get to the stage where we get to the bus stopping or continuing and knowing that actually, if I'd have spent five more minutes here, or if I'd have just remembered to do that sort of once or twice more, then maybe things could have been different. I don't want us left as a church with any maybes. I want us to be left in the true knowledge that actually what happens is God's will, not just because we didn't do our bit.
Okay. Now, I understand that... Richard, you had an image that you brought into the meeting. Is that so? Okay, my memory is not that bad. Just tell us what that was.
I was thinking around the lines of...
It's not amplifying.
Yeah, I was thinking along the lines of how when kids are coming up to Christmas, they know that something's going to come on Christmas Day. They don't believe their parents when you say, if you're not good, Father Christmas won't give you anything. They know it's coming. What they don't always know is what it is. And I didn't quite know what that meant, but I felt that that was important in this situation. And I still don't know what it means.
And perhaps it's not important to know what it means. Perhaps it's important to use it as a way of reflecting that God's got stuff for us, and he's got a heart to give us. Just like Andy was saying from Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that promise. And Barbara, you actually shared something into the meeting as well. Can you...
I did, but I've left my Bible in the house this morning.
Okay, all right.
But it's still there, sort of...
Isaiah, and in one part of the chapter it's talking about how awful the children of Israel are being, and you know they're doing everything wrong, but it's telling them to face God and know what he can do, you know, because he's the one that's actually doing it. And I think that's something that stuck with me.
Okay, yeah. We'll pick that up and endeavour to Facebook it for you. Okay, so process this morning. The process is this, quite simple, but very difficult. Think, write, and what does CS stand for?
Share.
No, it doesn't. It says stick.
Stick.
Okay, all right. So what we're going to do is we're going to think, we're going to write onto post-its, and then we're going to stick. Rather than share, I was taking the mick out of Joe there because one of his formulae that he uses when training us has been TWS, which is think, write and share, because that gives everybody, even the people who are not gobby, a chance to contribute. You see, because if you think, you write it down, then you've got your ideas out there. Now, some of you will find it really quite difficult to write stuff down, but have a think about what are your questions and comments, what are the problems that you're bumped into. I tell you what my problems have been as I've come across. First of all, how much of my life do I want to explain in terms of spiritual warfare? How much do I want to think about angels being significant and important? How do I, even if I'm fasting, get to concentrate on praying? Hey, I've got a shed load of questions and queries that have come up for me as I've been thinking about prayer. Some that have been there for a long time. And probably the biggest one at the moment is, if God doesn't always get what he wants, doesn't that make life rather scary? Yeah? So I'm sort of hoping that some of you guys will have some insights, some answers about those things, but that equally you'll have some questions as well, which will feed into the chance to talk about it. Most people in the world pray. Most people pray. Mm. And most of us pray more than most people. That's not a reason to give ourselves a pat on the back. That's just a fact. We're more desperate than most people. We need God's help, and we know that we need God's help. So we know a bit about prayer. Some of us have been exploring fasting. Some of us have been exploring warfare. So any comments you've got, any thoughts you've had, just stick them down on a piece of paper. If you want to put your initials on there, that's okay. If you don't, then that's absolutely fine. And then go and stick them, if you can think of a place to put them, we'll get you to do that in a minute. So before you get any paper, 2 minutes quiet, thinking about what your questions, comments and issues on these subjects are. So you've had a think. Grab some post-its and start to write your questions down. You can write down up to 100 each. We've got plenty of post-its there. There are some pens, there are some Sharpies. But just spend a bit of time writing. We'll give you 2-3 minutes to do that. Right. Looks like we're almost done now. Greg, as you're up there reading all the questions, could you give us your top picks? Yeah. What are the most interesting comments or questions that you've come across?
No, I understand. Okay.
Let's get people all fighting down first. Okay, guys.
Okay.
Some of
Kate's close. And then I'd be grateful, Sarah. Sarah Park, if you'd go and have a look, and let's have yours in a minute.
Okay, so there's some questions on warfare. I'm just trying to put them into sort of categories. So there's one here about, there's a few here about, are we fighting something tangible or not? How do we identify our adversary? Has Dayspring opened its eyes to what is happening around in regard to spiritual attack and the required response? And another one, this one, do we need others' eyes to see our own spiritual warfare? So there's sort of what group of questions. There are questions here about what is it? So how does spiritual warfare manifest itself in the physical world, i.e. is a cold ever demonic, and where do you draw the line? How do we know when an issue is particularly needing to be approached as spiritual warfare? So effectively the same question. What is normal life and what is warfare? Why do some people confuse them again? So obviously that's a repeating question. There's some here about particular verses in the Bible. So what is the full armour of God? Is it invincible if we employ it properly? Apart from the sword, all the other items mentioned are defensive in Ephesians 6. And again, a comment on warfare. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. What is religion and where does it come from? Yes, we need a philosophy question for that one. whether we like it or not, we're all involved in warfare. So again, there's some another link there. Bad things happen, so when is it spiritual warfare and when does it need a title? Again, I think that's the same thing here about life. You know, how do you draw the question? There's some which I'm finding hard to sort of look at differently. How do I deal with spiritual warfare with children? Throw them one at a time, I think, is the best. What is the best way to jump the S-curve? That must be somebody who's a manager. Oh, it's Andrew. Right. Messy church or bus, and how to avoid early stage chasm. Having had personal experiences of deliverance, when is it appropriate to share these? We are told to hold the shield of faith to quench attacks of the enemy, but I sometimes find it hard to know how to put this into practice. Left hand. I think that's another one about the particular Bible verses about spiritual warfare.
I want to pass over to the problem is that just holding this stuff in your mind.
It's an interesting one. There's always casualties in warfare, but I have a concern as the victory was sealed at the cross. So a question of, you know, hang on, if the victory is sealed at the cross, how come there's still warfare? Good question.
And over to Sarah.
There are just a couple. Some say, how do you take many, many things to prayer? Where's the one that stuck out to me? I've lost it now. Dave's moving it around. My one is, how do you know when God has said no to a request? And there's some similar ones like that that say, how do I keep the faith when prayers aren't answered in the way you want them to be answered? I find prayer can be a soothing experience or a real challenge. It says, if it is in God's will, do something anyway. Why prayer? Do all prayers carry some weight? I have witnessed God moving in my life and work more vividly as I've prayed for learning and delight in Him. And should we continue to say we are desperate, the Lord is on our side, we must have confidence in Him. Any more?
No, I've already forgotten most of what we'll try to take some photos to get them in location. And then during the next couple of weeks, we'll write them up and put them up. But there were some questions that struck me. There's no reason why... what about this business about how many times is it necessary to pray for one thing? How do you keep going? When do you know whether God has said no? Anybody got any thoughts about that? Stick your hand up, I'll pass you the mic.
Well, Jesus in Gethsemane said... take this cup from me, but nevertheless, if it's your will, or nevertheless your will be done. And the answer to the prayer was no, was go ahead, go through with it.
That instance is pretty exceptional, isn't it? Because there's the other one that's a bit parallel with that. You remember that Paul had what he describes as a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed 3 times that God would take it away from him, and God said to him, no, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, the unusual thing about Paul is that he'd already been up to the 3rd heaven, and he actually describes that at the same sort of time. So there's a way in which you could say, well, putting up with something is okay if you've been to the 3rd heaven. Yeah? It's a going to go. It's Helen, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remembered your name. Well done, me. There you go. You're coming, and then over to Joe.
In the book Presence of My Enemies, a woman's been kidnapped and she's praying, and it says very clearly in that book that she thinks that if you pray more than once the same thing, it's almost like questioning God and sinning. But in other times I've been taught that you should pray repeatedly and specifically about things. So that was really one of my questions. My daughter had the same exact question and we didn't realise.
How do you keep on?
Yeah.
Joe,
I think just that point that one of Jesus's things, sayings that he was talking about, I think, I know it's in Luke, I don't know exactly where, but it's been interpreted where it says, "Ask and you will receive, pray and you will find." He was talking about the person that came to get something, demanded something from someone, and he was asleep at night, and he kept saying to him, "Well, look, you know, the reason I'm going to answer you is just because you kept on knocking, you kept on beating on the door, and finally I responded just because you did keep on." So there's a something about in terms of increasing our prayer life and our strength in prayer is that sometimes God makes us keep on asking, keep on praying until it breaks through.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a sense of
a chance for Greg to contribute. And just one more person and then we'll move on to something else.
Right, sorry, it's only a brief one, but I realised when I was talking about the warfare ones, I made quite light of one comment there about children, but we have had experience with our own children of spiritual warfare. So whoever that is that wants to talk to us afterwards, we would love to share what we've done.
Got a story to tell about that in a minute. Marion, and then we'll move on to something else.
I was only going to say that in my own experience in a particular situation that I had, it was partly tied into what Stephen said, this whole thing of not my will but yours be done, so actually bringing your will into line with God. But then sometimes you can only see, because it's your prayer is not answered in the way you want it to be answered, that actually God was protecting you from something. And so therefore sometimes when he doesn't answer, it's often it is for your good.
But I think what we've got to do with all of these things is to recognise that these are problems because they're problems. Right? Helen makes the point, put it very succinctly, there are 2 points of view. Now, the Bible is a very, very big book, and so there's piles and piles of things in there that are said that sometimes seem to be contradictory. Most often is because it's talking about different situations, okay? So there's being persistent, there's being full of faith and expecting. You remember that Jesus prayed for a group of lepers who needed to go to the public health official, the priest, to get themselves checked out, and Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And it actually says that as they went, they were healed. Okay? So they've got this stuff, Zaraath, this sort of skin disease, dermatitis, and as they were going along, they were going to the priest and saying, what are we going to the priest? And you could imagine that some of them were saying, oh, let's do it. There were the optimists and the pessimists in the group. And then gradually they realised they were getting better as they went along. So there are illustrations of all sorts of things. On the warfare thing, there's a question there about how much of life is usefully explained by spiritual warfare. And my answer to that is a quote from a guy called G.W. North. He says that Christians spend a lot of time trying to cast out what should be crucified and to crucify what should be cast out, because there are some things that were accomplished on the cross in potential rather than in actuality, and we have to live for those things to become true in our lives. Okay, do we need other people's insights as well as our own? Here's a story. We had a neighbour who didn't get on with us very well. I've told this story before. In fact, it was pretty exceptional, really, because she used to get in a real state about what went on in our house. Now, we did have a very large house group, and we did have all sorts of things going on, and our kids were very ordinary kids. There was an occasion on which Matthew had yet again kicked the ball over the garden, he decided that he would get it back because he knew that actually telling her would only cause trouble. And so he crept through into her back garden, carefully snaked his way down, you know, sort of like a very good action man, while she was sitting looking through the patio doors at him doing so. And of course she did a nut about that. And then there was the occasion where we'd been letting our rabbit out on purpose to eat her lettuces, which sounds like some sort of strange story, which went on for some while until we saw the woman's cat undoing the bolt on our rabbit hutch to let the cat out, so that let the rabbit out so that it could get involved. You know, the cat didn't like lettuces but wanted to get its own back on this horrible woman, so let her rabbit out to do the business, to fire its bullets, in a manner of speaking. But you know what happened was, this situation was really very difficult, and a colleague of mine, a friend of mine, Loxley, who was on staff with me at the church I was involved in at the time, he said to me, he said, "Dave, this is not normal. Okay, this is something that is really strange, and you need to treat it as spiritual warfare." So we prayed about it, and it wasn't that long afterwards when the thing really showed itself, because the woman went completely nuts. And before she got locked up for a while, was last seen running off down the road with nothing on at 6 a.m. You know, it sounds a stupid story, but that's the way it happened. And afterwards, she came to us and said, "I'm really sorry about the way I behaved." Now, we would have just thought it was our kids. We needed to keep our heads down. We'd have been a bit scared about going out in the garden. You know what it's like when you've got really nasty or difficult neighbours. But that thing worked for us. It's somebody else providing insight. So you don't have to believe everything that people tell you. Otherwise, you'll be looking for feathers falling down from angels. And you'll be looking for gold on this and an oily sheen on that, which indicates that God's around, which may work for some people, but it's never seemed to work out for me. But then we do listen to other people's insights. Talking about kids, I can remember an occasion on which our Susanna, you know, girls between 8 and 10 can be really nasty to one another. And Susanna found that she were at school, there was this sort of group of in-girls who used to manipulate people and keep the pressure on by people either being in or out. Now, some of you will remember your experience of that, or you will know of occasions when that has happened. She was invited to a sleepover at this girl's house. And we were very iffy about it, but you don't say no unless you've got a very specific reason. So we let her go and prayed. By about 8:30 that evening, Susanna rang and said, "Could you come and pick me up? I want to come home." When we quizzed her about it, "I just didn't like it in that house." Okay? So you can ask Greg and Sue about their stories as well about some of those things. So those things can affect us. We're running out of time, but Father, thank you for all the stuff you're doing. Thank you that we're a community of people who want to follow Jesus more closely in more areas of our lives. Lord, as we sort some of these things out, as we talk about them, we pray that you will put us in the position where we can share all this wonderful stuff and our hopes and fears with the people around us. Amen. Amen. Guys, we didn't talk about fasting at all. If you can possibly alter your program, not watch the telly, get out and join us for prayer. It would be great. Last two prayer meetings we've had 10 people in, which is pretty good. We're pleased with that. Thank you for those of you who were there. If you can come tonight to our house, we'd be praying from 8 till 9. We'd be finished by 9, unless something amazing happens, and then you can still leave at that time if you want to. It would be really great. By the end of the month, by the time we get to Easter, it'd be really good if we can see 20 people rather than 10 in our prayer meeting. So if you can be there tonight, come and join us. That's it. Leave the things on the wall and we'll try and take some photographs. Do what?